Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. In Dumbass News, we were talking about this deputy who resigned and got a $30,000 settlement because she was taking nude pictures and doing sex acts on her own personal OnlyFans account.
Yes.
And we're like, is it illegal to do that?
Is it?
Can you not have your own presence? And is that your private life? Is that not your private life? I'm like, you know, let's ask a professional. Attorney Norm Pattis on the phone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey.
Morning.
We all have social media accounts.
Yes.
This one was way out there.
Very social.
But what's the deal? What do you think about that?
Well, so, you know, the question you had asked is, is it legal? And I think it is, as long as you're not using children or, actual children or engaging in sexual assault. And as long as the part, apparently she and her husband would film one another and themselves while engaged in lovemaking, and they'd post it on this for-profit site. Now, for whatever reasons, people would pay to watch it, and according to the New York Post, they were making $4,000 a month doing that.
Seriously?
Now she
that sounds about right.
I guess.
No, there are people who make $200,000-$300,000 a month doing stuff. Yeah, $4,000 seems right for this one.
Realistic, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much I'd pay to watch you and your wife, but I mean, to me, the notion that you would put this stuff out there for the world at large is inconceivable, but she and her husband decided it was a good idea. Now, at the same time, she was an Arapaho County law enforcement officer and apparently lieutenant in a detention center. A female law enforcement officer spotted this on the site, what she was doing on the site, she'll have to tell somebody else, and brought it to law enforcement attention. They were going to conduct an investigation. And rather than face an internal affairs investigation, she negotiated a severance package. They paid her $30,000 to leave. Did she have a right as a police officer to do that? She says, well, I didn't represent myself as a police officer. I didn't appear in uniform, but she was clearly identifiable. Almost every police department has codes of conduct for its officers. They're called general orders.
There's the hook.
In New Haven. And one of the general orders is that you not engage in conduct unbecoming of an officer. So the question is this that?
Is that
and
defined?
I could see an argument.
That's not defined then. They just say conduct unbefitting of an officer, but there's no
unbecoming. Yeah, yeah.
They never say
what is which, exactly.
But which could include, but not limited to, and list some stuff.
Some departments may choose to do that. I defend police officers around the state against various charges when their management brings them. I've never seen a code of conduct that says, you cannot, beat your neighbor's dog. You cannot, appear with your spouse online and engaging in voluntarily sexual activities. And I think that's because the range of things that can bring a department into disrepute is so broad that they want to trust in the good judgment and integrity of officers. In this case, her last name is Williams, Officer Williams. I can see why the department felt the need to open an investigation. I mean, if she's a supervisor in a detention facility, that means she's supervising other officers, and that, people are in jail either as custodial inmates having been convicted or pretrial detainees awaiting trial. And, is this going to be disruptive inside? Whoa, I'm hot for the lieutenant. Look what I found, guys, And I mean, I think that if you're going to be a peace officer and you're going to take it upon yourself to keep the peace and to keep people safe on the streets, you are called to a higher standard than an ordinary citizen. So, I can see it both ways in this case. I think the department probably had the discretion to get rid of her, and I think her union rep probably told her, look, this is on the line or just over it, you should go. Now, of course, the department is cynical, and they're saying that she quit, got the severance package only to drive more clicks to her site and make more money. I confess I've never been on OnlyMe.
Is that what it's called?
Sure.
I think it's OnlyFans.
I think that's what it was called.
OnlyFans?
OnlyFans?
Yeah, only fan. Yeah. What is it again?
You be only me, but you solo.
Only me is free, by the way.
Only me is something else entirely.
Every afternoon, you know, actually.
Let me, how do you look up OnlyFans? Is that,
you can type her her handle.
No, I don't want to look her up, but like, how do you go to like, is it OnlyFans an app or is that an Instagram thing? Or
it's just OnlyFans.com, I think.
Well, okay.
Well, I think you need to assign an enterprising investigative reporter and give him a credit card to spend some money to see who in Connecticut he can find on OnlyFans and then call him say, you know, we just watched you getting it on with your, you know, with your pooch. I mean, you got something to say about that, you know? I mean, but it is just, you know, I mean, so I guess the law is she had a right to do it. The department has a right to assure, discipline and good order. It's a gray zone, and it's like everything else in the law.
I'm surprised that fast food places don't have their employees sign stuff like, hey, I'm not going to, you know, record me doing something bad to a hamburger.
Yeah, I'm not large fries.
Social
yeah, I'm not large fries.
Yeah.
The secret ingredient.
Right. Yeah. I'm the secret sauce.
Here at meatbeaters.com, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Colonel's recipe.
No, but I'm surprised there's not a lot of social media.
Finger licking good. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Mm. I mean, I'm not, the law is filled with gray zones. And I think all the law really does is create a set of settled expectations that make it possible for us to live together in something approaching peace and harmony as a community. And you just have to trust goodwill and common sense at a certain level. It always breaks down at the margins. And when it does, it creates difficult cases. Hers is a difficult case. But I think in the end, management was right to inquire.
Attorney Norm Pattison was probably wise
to leave.
Which one, if you had to pick a side here, you're like, all right, Norm, we're going to give you a gig. Which one do you want?
Well, I'd probably pick her side so that I'd have a professional excuse to watch the video.
You know, you did good to the left.
All right. So what's in a couple sentences, your argument for her case?
Well, you know, she was engaged in protected expressive speech, and the United States Constitution recognizes that that people have a right to engage on First Amendment grounds in these sorts of behaviors. She didn't identify the department. She didn't do anything to bring the department into disrepute. She didn't do anything to suggest she was affiliated with the department. There's no evidence to suggest that anyone in the jail had access to the facility. Indeed, in prisons in general, there is limited computer access. So while some people may have been discomfited by her conduct or her expressive speech, that's the price we pay for living in a democracy.
All right, now take the other side.
It's obvious that in the highly charged custodial environment, where officers are making split-second decisions on which their safety and the safety of inmates are required, that we need people to exercise good judgment. Giving people leverage over her in the form of pay-for-play access to what she does with her husband is inappropriate, and it's going to inspire the sort of divisive, raucous conduct internally that is inimical or undermines the safety of others.
Wow. You're good, you.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what would be fun is to watch two Norm Pattisons in a courtroom fighting one another.
Or just keep changing hats.
He'd be like, oh, my God.
Keeps changing jackets.
Right, yeah.
He's waking up in the morning. You know,
he's going from table to table.
Glasses on,
Norm.
Glasses off.
Right. Yeah. Your argument, counselor. No argument, counselor. Yes.
And the judge is also Norm Pattison.
Right. It's like a bad...
And the defendant is Norm Pattison.
It's like a bad Genesis video.
Oh. He's got two different briefcases.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hair up, awesome. Hair down.
Yep.
Do we want to talk about this lawyer who was disbarred? Is that a...
That's another case of line drawing. So, you know, a lawyer was disbarred by the court this week.
In Connecticut.
A Connecticut lawyer.
This doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
It almost never happens. And so she maintained. So in the family courts in Connecticut, obviously there are many aggrieved parties. and they're aggrieved for the following reasons. If you're going to fight with your ex-spouse over custody and you're going to make a judge decide who gets the child, you're not going to get Solomon up there offering to cut the baby in half so that you can each take half of it home. One person's going to take it home and one's not. And the loser is going to blame the system. And the loser is going to believe that they were aggrieved and that they're a good parent, and interfering with the love between a parent and child, only a monster can do that. And a judge who chooses to do that must be bad and evil. And so a number of aggrieved family court litigants, people typically who've been on the loss side, the bad side of the zero-sum gain decision in custody, have found one another, and they've formed associations and groups. And there is something called Family Court Circus, I think, which is a blog written by somebody out of Virginia about the Connecticut courts, that is just dripping with vitriol, and it's become an anti-Semitic rag. I mean, its propaganda is so vile, I think Hitler would blush and Goebbels would be fired and told to get a new job. And so this lawyer appeared to have adopted their point of view and accused a sitting judge of anti-Semitism in very hostile ways, and moved to recuse the judge, claiming that there was a Jewish conspiracy in the courts. The matter was referred to another judge to hold a hearing, and he called this lawyer's bluff, and the lawyer was unable to produce evidence of it and got openly contentious with the judge. The judge held that her assertions of fact about the anti-Semitic or about the Jewish conspiracy were wrong. As a matter of fact, she couldn't produce it. She was openly contumacious or contemptuous of the court, and that she therefore sacrificed her ability to practice law, and he disbarred her. I mean, he took her law license away. And so she will not be able to reapply for a law license for at least 5 years, and then will have to be readmitted.
Holy crap.
You know, obviously, I think he overstepped his bounds. I mean, I'm aware, I know this particular lawyer. She can be difficult. She can be contentious. But you want your lawyer to be difficult and contentious. The accusations that she made are not ones that I endorse, and I think they are irresponsible. She was given an opportunity to prove them and failed, costing her credibility. But I'm not sure it could cost her law license. So I think she will undoubtedly take an appeal to the Connecticut Appellate and or Supreme Court to determine whether this trial judge abused his discretion and overstepped the lines. Now, in the same way that a cop might have a right to, or in the same way we might have a right to engage in private, voluntarily sexual conduct, as we were talking about with the on First Amendment grounds with the officer in out west, so a lawyer too has a First Amendment right. But like an officer's conduct, a lawyer's speech is limited because lawyers are also officers of the court. And so the real issue in the disbarred lawyer's case is whether this lawyer.
You ever ask a question and wonder when the answer is going to finish?
All right, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I went to the bathroom and came back. What did I miss?
War and peace.
I really don't know.
I should have ended on
this.
This
is with only one cup of coffee in me. Wait till I get the second
I should have ended with the court case, and Norm is the lawyer and the prosecutor and the judge. And the that was great. That was like high note. End it right there. And damn it.
All right, buzzkill. Anyhow. She got disbarred, and she's got to take an appeal. You know, lawyers have First Amendment rights. They're limited by their duties to the court, but judges don't get to play censors. They get to supervise, but they're not censors. That's the short answer.
Yeah, right? No, it's wild.
That's the short answer.
It doesn't happen a lot.
No.
And lawyers may fight it out tooth and nail in the courtroom, but you take one out, you're like, hey, man.
Hey, cool.
I wish media people were like that.
Yeah.
I wish we would all, you know, say, hey, you can't stop that person from saying that. I don't like what they're saying, but you can't stop them from saying it.
Right, we could say that.
Well, it's like the whole Joe Rogan, Neil Young, and Spotify thing, you know.
I saw that.
I was worried. Like Neil Young saying, I'm taking my music off of Spotify if you don't get rid of Joe Rogan. Spotify's like, hey, Neil Young, we can find you on every platform, but only we got Joe Rogan, so bye-bye.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, he's still relevant.
Sort of move.
Yeah.
No, what's funny is that he thought that, like Neil Young thought, this is really going to be something.
I'll show him.
It's going to work. Watch.
He should have threatened to write a song instead.
Hey, grab your old man guitar.
I saw that picture of Neil Young in the story, and I thought, man, I thought he died 5 years ago. And then I started humming, old man, look at my life, you know. And but bye-bye, Neil. Hello,
yeah,
Joe.
No, good for him. You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. What I thought was going to happen is that every artist would get together and say the same thing.
Yeah.
Like those doctors. I mean, people are really afraid of people who have an opinion different than theirs.
Seriously.
So anyway, I thought the lawyer thing was interesting because you guys fight it out in court, but then when one of you gets sidelined,
you
it's
jump
like, hold on a
yeah,
minute.
Habeas corpus. No, let's go.
So, all right, Norm. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. We've been telling everyone that you have a concert announcement to make.
Well, we announced it earlier in the week, right?
No.
The other announcement.
I don't even know. Do we have
oh,
another
really?
One? I don't even know about another
did?
One.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Never mind.
So you've been good.
we got to pre-plan these things and not make them so contemporaneous.
No, I apologize because I thought it had gone through the chain of command because I was told by a manager that Jimmy is going to make an announcement.
And they're never wrong. I'm going to burn later for that one.
during the next song. We'll talk during the next song.
Yeah.
Figure this out.
Yeah. All right, so what we'll do now, and I could tell you that I'm pretty sure a concert announcement is coming, but what we'll do right now is talk about Sammy Hagar, which was announced Monday. Tickets are on sale tomorrow. However, you can buy them today.
Yes.
You want to explain that magic to us, Jimmy?
And I suggest you buy them because they're selling so darn fast. It's really remarkable.
They're selling already.
Even Sam
they're already on a pre-sale. They went through the fan club so far, the Sammy fan club. So now it goes on public pre-sale today. And all you have to do is type in the word drive.
So LiveNation.com, starting at 10 a.m., type in the word drive. That's the pre-sale password. And buy your tickets today. If not, wait till tomorrow, 10 a.m. They might be gone, right?
Yeah, because normally we would never give the password out on the radio. So the real on sale is tomorrow, but now that I think we've given it out on the Fox and PLR, we probably have the real on sale going to go on at 10 a.m. today, particularly since you guys are presenting the show.
Right.
Exactly.
I love that.
What should I wear?
Yeah. Chaz and AJ
You've
Summer
already
barbecue.
Changed the rules. You've already changed the rules. The pre-sale is now the on sale.
Right.
You
today's
guys are changing our industry.
Yeah. Oops.
I'm so confused.
You know, I don't really pay attention to meetings. The one time I do.
And I pay less. I'm usually staring at the ceiling.
Now, this is very exciting to have our names on this show, Sammy Hagar and the Circle. It's Sammy Hagar, Vic Johnson, Michael Anthony, and Jason Bonham. That's Sammy's band. And then George Thorogood and the Destroyers, all one night, Friday, June 10th, 7:30, Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but we told you how you can buy them today at 10 a.m., You go to LiveNation.com, you type in drive. Tickets are $29.50 to $99.50, and there's VIP stuff available as well. Maybe, still.
Hopefully.
But
yeah, there's still some VIP available, and we are going to change the showtime to 8 o'clock.
Cool.
Oh,
that's
good.
I wanted to talk to you and make sure, since you guys were the promoters, that was okay with you.
Yeah.
But usually on Fridays, traffic on 95 starts easing up by 7:30.
Right.
So I like to start my Friday shows at 8 o'clock.
Cool.
That makes sense.
I'll have an extra drink.
That makes sense. Okay.
Just so nobody calls you up Monday on June 13th and says, by the way, traffic sucked.
That's good thinking.
Yeah, that is.
Because you're the promoter, because you'll get those calls instead of me getting those calls.
I should be home by then, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We have to worry about it. You know, we've never had a conversation about, what are we supposed to do now?
Yeah, like how do we act?
Well, you hope everything comes out well. And if it doesn't come out well, you're going to catch a lot of crap.
Okay.
From the fans.
Right. What kind of crap do you get?
Yeah, like actual crap?
What do you get stuff crap for?
Yeah.
I didn't like my seat.
Oh,
I waited online too long to get into the show.
That's life.
That won't be a
problem. Parking wasn't good.
That is life.
Wasn't good. And I'm not speaking Bridgeport. I'm speaking in general at concerts.
Right. Okay.
You know, the set was too short. You know, why didn't they play I'll Drive 55 or something like that when I don't make up the set list? I can't tell you. I mean,
oh, wow. People have said that to you?
Seriously?
Why did they play this song?
Because they knew you wanted to hear it.
People are so cranky.
I'd be the worst person to
I've
come
always
back at
wished
them.
I could put a set list together from one of my favorite acts. That would have been fun.
Oh, maybe we could do that
for
Sammy.
That'd be awesome.
And we'll submit it to him. We'll say, here's our suggestion.
Right.
This is from the concert promoter.
It's in Jimmy's handwriting, but.
Jimmy would be like, yeah, I'll get that, Sean.
And just so you know, we have a soundbite of someone saying he's the boss.
Right,
so.
That's right.
Yeah, please, thank you. I can't wait to put it on a podcast.
Yeah.
And just keep playing it over and over to her.
Jimmy, as soon as we hit commercial, I'll send it to you. You'll have it in 6 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Last week, we were talking about it being the anniversary of the implosion of the New Haven Coliseum. I believe it was the 15th anniversary.
I believe so, too, yes.
Mm. And that sucker, man, that came down.
Oh, yeah.
Big boom.
Kaboom.
Big boom, a lot of dust.
Right. A lot of dust.
With two cops running for the car.
Yeah.
And it was very cold.
A lot of memories in that place, Jimmy. That, you know, the site of my first concert. A lot of people saw their first concert there and then
never had the pleasure, unfortunately.
Many, many concerts. What is your, you know, besides Tommy Lee falling on his head?
That was one of my memories. I've had some with David Bowie there. I had one with Whitney Houston there. But I think my most memorable moment was when I had to get up on stage and announce to 10,000 deadheads who had probably already dropped their acid because it was past showtime.
Right.
That there'd be no show tonight.
Oops.
And because Jerry was sick. And the band wanted me to get on stage myself and do it. And I was not willing to. I was going to do it, but I had asked Mickey Hart, who was my best friend in the band, if he would come up with me. He said yes, and then I asked Bobby if he would do it, and Bobby said no. But then when he saw Mickey was going to do it, he agreed to do it with me, which was nice. And then we went up on stage and had to tell 10,000 deadheads, which, as I said, many of them probably dropped their acid to get back in their cars and drive home. So it was probably not a very safe day to drive on 91 or 95. Mm. That's for sure.
What you should have done.
That's for sure.
What you should have done is that they just waited 10 minutes and go up and go, that was our show. Like, oh my God, I missed it.
That was wild, man.
That was the best show I ever saw, man.
We have the audio of this?
We do.
This is Jimmy going up on stage. And so, Jimmy, what did you think was going to happen? And what happened?
I thought beer bottles were going to get thrown at me, and that's why I was afraid to go myself.
Right.
I was. That's why I was thinking if I put a band member on each side of me as I made the announcement.
Right.
Only the best throwers would be able to hit me, and most people would say, "I don't want to hit Bobby or Mickey. I'm not going to try to hit Jimmy."
That's a great tactic.
So I wanted them to be like 3 feet from me on each side. So I would be protected by them.
I would stand in front of me.
Right, exactly.
I'll be behind you guys.
I'll just be behind you.
Right.
And that's all I asked him. Just stand there. I'll do all the announcing. I said, you guys just got to be there, and you're like my decoys. That's all you are. But when you hear the announcement, you'll see that I say very little, and Bobby really says the most.
Garcia's real sick. Garcia's real sick. He has pneumonia. He's in a respirator right now. We can't get him out of bed. And we're not going to be able to play tonight, but we will be able to come back, I think, maybe on Monday. So we're going to turn you over.
Hold on 1 second. Wow. What a different reaction. I think that you would have had more trouble with that if you said it.
It was like a slow burn.
Yeah. But was Jerry really on a respirator?
No. Jerry was in one of the dress rooms right on the side of the stage. With steam, one of those steam things, like the, I don't know.
Oh, the humidifier thing?
All right, so not really a lie. Yeah. An exaggeration.
Right, evaporator.
Yeah.
Did I say respirator?
I meant evaporator.
Yeah, evaporator.
Yeah, you sound the same.
Yeah, same thing.
Wow.
Hey, listen, you know what?
Hey,
the songwriters. They write some things that are real and some things that aren't real.
Right.
That makes it sound like, no, but it's brilliant because how do you boo? Like, what do you mean he can't come out on a respirator?
Yeah.
Come on.
What do you mean he's almost dying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good. That's good.
Okay.
I think maybe.
Yeah, that was good.
So we're going to turn you over. There's nothing we can do.
So what he said,
nothing we can do.
We're going to turn you over. And then does he hand you the mic, Jimmy?
Yeah, they handed me the mic, and you saw the crowd turn on me right away. If you hear the the cheers when they see Bobby and Mickey up there, and all of a sudden, everybody gets mad when they hand me the mic. So I was definitely right. You can hear the change of tone in the crowd when I got the mic.
I think this is where it was genius asking Mickey to come up, because I think he kind of helps you out here a little bit.
There's nothing we can do. So if you'll listen to Jimmy here for a minute, he'll be able to tell you all about refunds and rescheduling.
Okay, you have to understand, Jerry is very sick. We'll be back, and we'd like to play for you.
We'll be back if you still want us. Thank you. We'll be back. You better believe it.
Okay, let me tell you real quickly. We're working on Monday, December 4 right now. We're holding this building right now for Monday, December 4. We're also holding the Springfield Civic Center in case something screws up for Monday, December 4th. You won't be charged for parking. They will not charge you when you leave here if you're in the garage or the
ah! Oh, no.
Someone yelled that real loud.
Yeah.
That was a parking guy.
What do you mean?
He's not getting any tips.
I had to work.
And by the way, it ended up happening in January, the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
In New Haven, yeah.
Well, they were tripping anyway.
In January.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that was my, you know, it's a shame that my most memorable moment is a show that didn't play, not a show that did play.
That's how I think most people remember things. If you're, you know, out in public and things don't go right, you're going to remember that more than the time that went right.
It's out of the ordinary.
And folks remind you, too.
Well, it's a raw feeling.
Yes.
Getting booed.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Not a great time.
Yeah, that was bad. And one time we had David Bowie there, and after his set, but he hadn't done his encore yet, somebody served him a subpoena backstage, and they got through our security, which really annoyed me. So David refused to come back on stage. He was so pissed about it. So I said, I got to get up on stage and say that David's not coming back. So I get up on stage and I go, David's left the building, the old Elvis line.
Yeah.
You know, Elvis has left the building. And he usually did leave the building, Elvis, when that happened.
The greatest thing about that line is he's gone. There's no noise you can make to bring him back out. It's
right.
Over.
Yeah, he's right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that's it. So it's over, right. So I get up there and use the old Elvis line, David's left the building. In the meantime, I didn't realize that David had not even sang Rebel Rebel in his set yet. It was his encore, and he did not want to leave the show without singing Rebel Rebel. So he ended up coming up behind me on the stage as I'm saying, David's left the building. So I was very embarrassed by that.
You should have said, finish the cigarette and came back in.
Are you talking and then you hear the crowd turn into applause and think, why are they happy that he didn't leave the building. He's standing right there.
Hey, there he is.
Or did he wait until you left and then walked out?
Oh, no. It's exactly as you said initially. It was shocking to me because as I was saying, he left the building. They're all cheering. I'm going, wow, that's really weird. Did he really go down that badly? And then I turn around, and there's David, you know, climbing up the steps, getting on stage, and sings Rebel Rebel. So that was a fairly embarrassing moment. Oops. Yeah, you remember the bad things.
Those are the things that stick.
That's what I do.
You need some good memories here.
Someone called up and asked about the app. I think he said, when can I get in line? This isn't like a record star.
Like a virtual line?
A little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think
never
he's
heard of it called an app before either. It's not really an app. It's a website.
Yeah, it's online, not online.
Yeah, it's online. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no Live Nation app to buy tickets? There might be.
Well, there might be. Yeah, there might be on the phone, I guess. I buy tickets at times. Not for my own shows, of course. Well, I buy tickets for my own shows, but not using LiveNation.com.
Right.
I use my box office.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
To the box office, and you say you give me.
It's one of the perks of the job.
Here's my card.
You can't do it. Come on.
See my parking spot.
Yeah,
seriously.
Here's my credit card, and if you dare charge me, I'll fire you.
No. Exactly right. Yeah. I'll have you killed.
All right. So the app.
No, but
can,
it's very simple. There is no such thing as a line anymore. Those days have gone. The Live Nation app or whatever we want to call it can handle tens of thousands of requests at once. So wow. you don't need to get on now. at, you know, if you want to get on at 1 minute to 10, but you're not going to be able to buy your ticket till you type in drive. So my suggestion is 10 o'clock, get online. And I mean, get on online and just order your tickets would be instead of standing there and waiting, because it's
maybe that's
it's
what he
not accepting
by...
your wait at this moment.
So don't
Did
camp
he
out
mean, like online, like online.
He said the app. And I think what was happening is just that, as Jimmy's saying, at 10 o'clock, the tickets are available. There's nothing to do now because there's nothing available.
You can't get in an order. You can't stop farming an order.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Now.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah,
so
well
it's just
said.
10 o'clock. And
there you
it's
go.
The Wild West.
Everybody, it's closed right now.
Yep.
Go, go, go.
So just use the word drive. That's the key.
That's
what you
do.
Need to know.
10 a.m.
Yes. It took yep.
And today's the pre-sale.
And
this isn't
correctly.
Even the on-sale. The on-sale's tomorrow. So this is just if you listen to this station, you know this.
Yeah.
And if you don't, maybe you found it online. But most people are going to start buying them tomorrow. So
yeah.
Get on at 10 a.m. today.
And spell drive correctly.
Sammy Hagar in the Circle.
Seeing you folks on Facebook.
Sammy Hagar, Vic Johnson, who I'm sure is a nice fellow.
Yes.
But Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Jason Bonham, John Bonham's son.
John Bonham's son.
All right, so that's Sammy's band playing with George Thorogood and the Destroyers. That's one night. So you're going to hear Van Halen. You're going to hear Sammy Hagar songs. You're going to hear Zeppelin songs, probably.
Incredible.
What else they'll throw into Sammy's set. And then George Thorogood and the Destroyers. That's a half a dozen songs right there, you'll know. It's on a Friday night in June. A Friday night, June 10th, Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. And tickets are so reasonably priced, $29.50, $99.50, 10 a.m. today, code word drive. Sorry, Jimmy, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say they are playing Zep. They are playing a couple of Zep songs.
Cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which is nice. So it's sort of like a greatest hit show between Van Halen, Sammy, and Zeppelin.
And he's just so fun. We played a cover of him earlier this week of him doing
Highway Star, Deep Purple.
Highway Star.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
That was Chicken Foot, yeah.
Wow. That's not an easy song to sing.
And it sounded better than the original.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
Wow. I'll have to look into that.
Is this with Jason Bonham playing drums?
No, it's the guy from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
Chad Smith, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Identical.
Yeah.
They really are.
I don't know how that happened.
This band
and it's Joe Satriani playing guitar.
Good.
Yep.
This is really as close as you're going to get to seeing something that feels like Van Halen live now. This is it.
Yep.
You know,
you're right.
You can go see Dave.
You're right.
You could.
He retires, but it's not gonna feel like a Van Halen show.
No.
So, very exciting. So, an hour and 8 minutes. Tickets go on sale. Pre-sale. Code word drive. Like I can't drive 55.
You get it?
This other date that we were talking about. This is regarding a Bridgeport show.
Yes, we had I don't know if it's actually been announced yet, but we got permission to do a festival at Seaside Park.
That has been announced.
Yes, that has been announced. It's called Sound on Sound because it's on Long Island Sound. We're such geniuses. SOS.
Of course. I like it. Sound on Sound.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yep, just calling it SOS internally. And we finally have our talent package put together for the 2 days. It's a 2 day festival. No camping, but a 2 day festival. And we're going to start announcing our headliners very shortly. So hopefully I'll get the okay to announce one of them when I hear back from the people that I'm supposed to hear back from to make sure today's the day.
Cool.
I think if you listen to this show, you may have heard me screw something up and annoy Jimmy.
That never happens here. You meant this show? Well, that's impossible.
Jimmy makes the mistake of trusting me with information.
Yes.
And then, I just forget, did we say that on the air? Did we say that off the air? I talk to Jimmy from the time he comes on to the time he goes off.
Like
it's nonstop. When we're playing a song or commercials, and I forget what
when
was
did it happen? Yeah, right.
So if you listen very carefully.
Right. You think back.
Weeks back.
Yep.
You may have heard a tinge of what's coming.
Just a little eek.
Yes, that's
of
true.
Info.
Yeah.
Right.
A lesson that I've learned that not telling people things that make a living talking.
That's right.
Right. You meant us, right?
I've had that problem with your afternoon guy also.
One of your members.
Yeah, so it seems to be in the blood. That's all I could say. It just seems to be part of the job.
There's a lot of things in our blood, to be honest with you.
So this is, man, Jimmy, a festival in Connecticut, though, the music festival. That's, come on, man. This is exciting.
Well, to me, as I said to my company, I said, we have tied the bow. It is over with in Connecticut. We will have a festival in Connecticut. We have a boutique amphitheater in Connecticut. We have a big amphitheater in Connecticut. And we have the Mohegan Sun Arena, which we bring 60 to 75 shows in Connecticut. And we have the Oakdale Theater in Connecticut. We have every possible concert. And we have Toads in New Haven, which we now book. So we have every possible venue in the state of Connecticut that we work with.
That's wild.
So I don't know what else we can do. I think this festival is going to be great. I think people are going to love it. The talent package is fantastic, and I truly can't wait to announce it.
Interesting. That's interesting. I never thought of it. You have every card. Like, what band are you? Where do you want to play? We can put you anywhere you want.
Nice.
It's incredible. How's that Wolfgang show selling at Toad's Place?
It's selling great. It's three quarters sold out already.
Oh, nice.
Not until March. And rarely does a show at Toad sell out in advance. Yeah, people always expect to come to the door to get in.
Walk up. Yeah. So that's going to sell out. We have clearance for liftoff.
This isn't dumbass news, right? This is not dumbass news?
No, it's not. No.
No. We're going to try not to make it that way.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, it was
anybody's guess.
Strange lead in.
Yes.
But you're right. I just spoke to the camp of this band that we were talking about, and they okayed the announcement before they even announced their tour, which is, again, something very special. We have what I consider on sound, four headliners over the 2 days, lots of bands. I mean, we have 12 bands a day, but we have four of the 24 bands, in my opinion, are headliners. So I'm very happy now for the first time to announce the Sunday night headliner, September 25. And I'll try to get permission for next Thursday to announce the Saturday night headliner.
Oh, fun.
Okay, and again, that will be the first announcement of it being made.
Okay.
So the Sunday night headliner is Tim Reynolds and Dave Matthews.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I should probably say Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds.
Yes.
So that will be the Sunday night headliner on September 25. As I said, I think we have four headliners. So even though Dave and Tim will close the show on Sunday night, the festival on Sunday night, I think the artist that will play right before Dave and Tim is quite a big artist also. And I think you'll see the same thing when we announce our Saturday co-headliners, in my opinion.
Awesome.
What's amazing is that Dave Matthews fans around the world are going to find out that there is a tour from this announcement right here.
Yep.
Well, there's not a Dave and Tim tour. There's a Dave Matthews band tour.
Oh.
That will get announced shortly. But what I wanted to do was to make sure that people knew that Dave and Tim, this is a one-off. They're just coming in and doing this date and going home.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Which is great, which is the case with most of these artists that we have. They're not on tour. We pay them a little more money to make sure that they have their own expenses that are different, that they can't amortize over a whole tour, that they have to basically amortize on our date. So I always wanted Dave to headline a festival for me because he is the artist that probably has played outdoors in Connecticut twice as much as any artist has played in Connecticut. So I thought it was appropriate that he somehow be involved in this, which is great. On Sunday, September 25, the Sound on Sound Festival, which takes place September 24 and 25, the headliner and the artist that will close the show is Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds.
Cool.
Unbelievable what you and Howard have brought to that city in just a short period of time.
Right.
It's like, wow, Bridgeport's back, thanks to you guys.
Bridgeport is the music capital of Connecticut. Who would have thunk, right?
Seriously.
Right.
Yep.
Right. That's very exciting. And Jimmy, thank you for breaking up I know you're having a holiday now with your girl, and thanks for coming back on to make that announcement, and we'll get more details with you next Thursday, and maybe another announcement for the Sound on Sound.
Oh, we'll get
Festival.
Another announcement. We'll get it. We'll I have now a week to work on it instead of moments to work on it. So I hope to announce the Saturday headliner next Thursday.
Cool.
Mm. Can we get a hint?
It's a she.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
That's cool.
That could be anybody.
That's exciting.
A member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, we know it's a girl.
Ooh. 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 All right. Yeah. There you go. All right. So, Jimmy, thanks for calling back and letting us know, and we'll post that on the website, and this will all be up on the web as part of the podcast. Thank you, Jimmy. So first we heard of this guy when he did a rap song at a Board of Ed meeting in Houston. Do we have that? No. I didn't tell you to have it.
So. No.
But he's on the phone right now. It's Alex Stein. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. Thank you, Chaz, AJ, for having me. It's funny. I called Connecticut school. I didn't expect that I'd be talking to Cher's son. So Cher and Sonny Bono are two of my favorite artists. So, Chaz, thank you for everything you've done. You know,
you're welcome.
For transgenderism. I just want to say thank you. You've inspired me. So
thank you.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be on the air.
It's an honor to have you on. I was listening to you at that Houston Board of Ed meeting. Do we have some of it? Let's play a little.
No, Dr. Fauci, please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. Vaccinate your mom. Vaccinate your dad. Vaccinate the happy. Vaccinate the sad. Vaccinate your babies. Vaccinate them, even if they got rabies. Vaccinate my life. Vaccinate my wife. Vaccinate your DNA. Vaccine created by the...
Alex, why are you out of breath?
Yeah, well, because I ran in there so late. And let me tell you guys something. First of all, it's not the Board of Education. It's the City Council meeting of Dallas.
Oh.
And it's funny you're saying... it's funny you're saying that because I'm about to speak at 10 o'clock. I'm about to speak at the City Council of Houston because you can only speak at your City Council once a month.
Oh.
So the reason I'm out of breath is I'm always out of breath because I'm like a Chris Farley impersonator. Not really. I'm just saying it's like when you're sitting there and I was running in late, it's kind of hard to catch your breath because all the energy gets sucked out of you. As soon as you get to that podium at any of these like city council meetings, school board meetings, dude, I don't even know how to explain it. It's all of a sudden like you can have all this energy and it's just, boom, it's like a battery. They suck it out of you.
Wow.
I
you die hard.
I got a 3.5 minute song. I have to make a bathroom run. I do a sprint back here to the microphone and I'm out of breath for the whole break.
And he also raps.
Yeah.
Yes, well, let me tell you something. When you're out there rapping, and guys, that was off the dome. That was extemporaneously.
Stop.
You know,
off the cuff, huh?
No.
Yes. Nice, right from the hip.
I'm telling y'all. I'm not even trying to take credit. I'm telling
then
you guys.
Then do it right now. Do something right now, right off the top of your head.
Okay. The Fauci, ouchie, no, you can't deny it. Yes, I want to try it. Stick the needle deep in my arm. Stick the needle deep in my mom. Gonna play Donkey Kong video game Hall of Fame. Stick the needle in your beagle. Give me that Fauci, ouchie. I want it today. Vaccinate me straight or gay. I mean, I don't know. I have to be like in the zone.
Yeah.
But
that's a good zone.
Dude,
you're doing that one at 10 o'clock today, right?
Yeah, I'm prime time 99 hours 10. I got bars all day long. This is not the last time y'all are ever going to see me. And I'm not even trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying, in this day and age, we're like, we should be, you know, yelling at our local politicians. Like, more people should be doing this because everybody knows that the government is mishandling everything. And that's coming to light. So it's like people want to see the people in power get trolled like this. So I think this is like opened up Pandora's box, in my opinion.
Speaking of mishandling, why'd you rub the hand sanitizer on your face?
But because I'm a comedian, because I wanted to, I wanted to be weird and crazy.
Artist.
That's why I do that.
That was where the rap kicked in to the next gear. Like, he started slow, out of breath. That came out, and then it was like, oh, okay, he's got it now. He's hit the stride.
All clean jokes. Yeah.
Reset.
The alcohol and the hand sanitizer, like, it went, you know, went through my skin.
It's like the smelling
salts,
like, oh, okay, I'm
exactly.
in now.
It was like a little bump. It was a little hit that, you know, picked it up. But let me tell you something. The Purell, then I went and spoke at another city council meeting where I dumped a whole bottle of Purell, and it got like 10,000 views on my, you know, YouTube and Instagram, a little more than that. But I'm just saying, nobody, it's weird. It's weird what works. Like, because I sprayed it like that, people loved it. But I went and tried to copy that same bit at a meeting. Nobody cared. So it's very weird what goes viral. Because I've spoken there over 12 times, guys. Like, this isn't my first time there. And I've had
right, so why on the it. Other ones? This is the one that we got.
Yeah,
Alex Stein
audiences.
Is on. He's a YouTuber. We're linked up on the radio station website. We played him when he did his deal in Houston.
Yep.
We're like, wow, that's I'm surprised he wasn't tased. It's Houston, Texas.
We thought for certain or
and,
shot.
And then I get a text from a friend who said he made an appearance in Watertown.
Like, what?
Why Watertown, Connecticut?
Well, because a friend of mine sent that. So I have a few friends in Connecticut. Well, I guess I have friends everywhere. It's like, hey, you got to call my school. They're being crazy. They're annoying my daughter. I mean, I didn't really have anything to say. So I just read that article about how a parent's outraged over litter box. You know, some teacher was trying to, you know, be nice to her students and brought a litter box to accommodate the students that thought they were furries. And so I just read that. And really and truly, I don't even care. I think it's kind of nice that a teacher would accommodate that. But it's just we've gone a little.
You said your daughter identifies as a lizard.
Yes.
And I want to put a terrarium in the room, but we're not trying to make the room. See, we're not really asking for that much. It's not like we expect the room to be 85 degrees. That would be too much. But a simple glass box that she can just eat her flies in and just, you know, study her algebra, that's not that big of a deal. I don't know why they can't accommodate that. But
so what's the next level? Like, you got to have pictures of your daughter if you're going to do this, like looking like a lizard, like eating flies and stuff.
Right.
Charts and graphs.
Listen, guys, this is just the start. This is the tip of the iceberg. You guys are early stock buyers on Primetime 99, Alice 9. 99.1 knows. You guys are awake to the future of trolling. But my like I said earlier, I don't know if I actually did say it, my influence is Andy Kaufman. So I want to be like the next Andy Kaufman. And so I'm going to do some even more stunts. As a matter of fact, now that this has gone viral, I'm going to run for mayor in Dallas just to get into the debates, just to troll my local mayor. So
this
party's not stopping, guys. It's just getting started.
Just begun.
All right. Well, we want to check in with you as much as we can whenever you have something new, like this meeting that you're going to have today might be something. So,
Dude, AJ, Chaz, you guys are the best for having me on. Y'all, please check in with me anytime you need me. You call me. And I'll definitely make sure to hit up Connecticut enough, and I'll mention you guys. My next time I troll Connecticut, I'll mention Chaz and AJ. How about that?
All right, deal. And we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, Alex.
All right, thank you, guys. Hey, it was a pleasure, and thank you all for reaching out. I really appreciate
it. Same, man.
Prime time number 99, Alex Stein, YouTuber. Yay. Thank you, brother.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yes, he does.
Man, he does.
Vaccinate me, pure air. I love you. What can I say? DNA, I love you. I got the pure L, feeling pure, so clean. Got the Lysol, because I'm calling Paul. Do you got to clean the mic? You got to vaccinate. You going to get corona from Mona. Don't vaccinate. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You got to vaccinate in the Lone Star State.
Wow.
And he made it through.
He did.
No one tased him.
Nope.
No one cuffed
him. Still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted just listening to him.
He was winding down too, yeah.
I like that he's on our team now. He's part of the crew.
Awesome.
AJ, they have a little counter underneath him about how much time he's got left. There's a minute 10 left of this.
Oh, wow.
He uses every second.
He goes another minute.
Vaccination is so great. Vaccinate me all day long. Vaccinate your daddy and mom. Vaccinate my body. Vaccinate me at the party. I vaccine dream. I love the vaccine all day long. I want to vaccinate your mom. I want to stick it deep in your arm. Oh, my.
50 seconds left.
All you, I want to vaccinate
the whole thing.
You, but you can't hear my song. Vaccinate me in my thong. Vaccination, right or wrong. Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie. I want it in my body. Vaccinate me to go to the party. Omar is back. Vaccinate me, white or black. Vaccinate you. Vaccinate who? Vaccinate you all day long. Vaccinate your dad and mom. Vaccinate me in my thong. Vaccinate the mayor. I am a vaccination player. What can I say? I'm the real Ron Sayer, prime time, 99, on the ground, all the time. I blow your mind, I spit the rhyme, I commit the crime. Always on time, because I'm 99, Alex, and I grind a shot, and I blow your mind. One more time, vaccinate your mind, vaccinate your body, vaccinate your life if you're vaccination party. I love y'all. Peace. God bless. Follow my Instagram.
Hit IG. The post.
Nice.
Wow.
I like the Fauci-ouchie bit.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.